Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. This is our time to be together, to touch one another, to have some fun even. And all of those who are out there listening to this voice, I would like to say to you, welcome. And today, I think we have some really, really interesting information. If you haven't gone to the website, MetatronMinutes.com, and signed up for the free newsletter, you might want to do this, because this particular article that's discussing Earth changes and the year 2012 was a question that came in from a reader. And what happens is, when you have questions, you just go to the website, you put in your question, send it to me, and then what we do is we have Lord Metatron... say we have. We ask Lord Metatron to come forth and give us the answer, and then we put it in the newsletter. And I thought this particular piece was so fascinating and so interesting that I decided to, well, not only have it in the newsletter, but it is on the BBS Spiritual Notebook. You can go there and check it out. And we're going to discuss it today. And if you have questions, give us a call, 877-876-5227, because there might be some aspect of this message that maybe you would like some more clarity about. And call in, because we can just call in Lord Metatron and ask him. How is that for an arrangement? I love it. So, first of all, Lord Metatron talks about both of these events and says that both really are necessary, the Earth changes and the ascension occurring in the year 2012, and that they have already been programmed into the grid system, and that these two directives have been connected to the Earth already, and it comes from Source in the center of the cosmos. However, these directives come through Galactic Center. And so let's give you a little background about that. If you look at or read anything about our galaxy and this incredibly magnificent whirling group of stars, then you know there is a center there, and that is where the Mayan calendar, in all of their glyphs and discussions, this is what they are discussing, that galactic center. And so Lord Metatron talks about how the symbols explaining this is also written on the temples, it's documented in their art and their graphics. And, of course, it is that moment that they calculate at 2012 where this exceptional, shall we say, energy or happening. Now, I want to tell you what is so incredibly remarkable about this message is it is explaining what will happen in the year 2012. And my friends, you are not expecting this. You really have to go to the Spiritual Notebook and read the whole thing, because it is quite remarkable. So Lord Metatron talks about the Earth changes, how some are required and necessary, and then some have come about because of human activities. And so he talks about the plate system, how it is aging. And he compares the plate system to a farmer who leaves some fields fallow to rejuvenate and then plants other fields. And that the earth, this happens with the earth also, and he talks about the geologic records where it shows that we have actually had some parts of the plate system that has been fallow, meaning sinking into the beneath the waves, and other parts of the plate system where we have used. And he gives the example of Atlantis. And he uses Atlantis because so many of us are still clearing some of the trauma from that period in Atlantis. But in essence, that was that part of the plate system that was then going to sink, lie fallow. So he gives that as an example. And so he talks about that as being part of the natural way of progression. And then he also talks about human consciousness. And so some of the consciousness of humanity has not been lined along levels where it has been beneficial to the planet, but rather has been harmful. And we know about this, you know, the negativity that has been in human consciousness, the wars. I mean, we can go on about that, but it's not necessary. But what he is saying is that it becomes necessary to sweep away this negativity. So the natural progression of, you might say, husbandry, where aging plates are used and then some lay fallow, plus the negativity of the human mind, how it has penetrated the earth, and that is what is behind the earth changes. Now, he is saying, which is fascinating, that these activities really have nothing to do with ascension. And I thought that was rather fascinating because, in a way, I thought perhaps it did. But he is saying no. And he goes back to 1999. Now, I've discussed this in some of the books that I've written, some of the radio shows that I've done. And in 1999, there was a tremendous blast of energy that came from the sun. And we know about this as solar flares. This was a gigantic solar flare. And when we have solar flares, we have the solar wind, which operates ordinarily. And this is an electron field that runs from the sun to the North Pole. It is one of those things that causes the northern lights. But during this flare in 1999, the solar wind stopped. In other words, there was no electrons coming from the sun to the North Pole for a period of 3 days. And that's documented in some of the science information. I had pulled that out of the website that explains when that happened, and they call it three days when the Earth stood still, but it really didn't stand still. It was the solar wind that did. And so as this flare came through and the solar wind stopped, what happened is in that flare there was imprinted with messages and directives that came directly from all there is or source, prime creator in the center of the cosmos. And so that was how prime creator sent energies to Earth. And they were very much connected to the Ascension Protocol. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, I just find this so extraordinary the first time that I heard it. And that is how the Earth was imprinted for making way for ascension, and also the changes in the human DNA. And so during this flare, this energy from Prime Creator made a change in the DNA in humans, and which was the beginning of all sorts of changes in the physical body. And of course, we know one of the big changes, my friends, was in the cells themselves, because it was moving the electrical charge in the cells from being carbon-based to light-based or crystalline. So we talk a lot about that, my friends. There's, you know, a lot of chatter that we light workers use about how the cells are turning to crystalline. But this could not have happened if Prime Creator had not sent that energy down to Earth through that solar flare and imprinted everything. And I like to mention this because you know, so many times we think, oh, these things are happening. It really isn't directed by God, that this is happening naturally. You know, a lot of scientists say this about evolution and so forth. And God is very much working in our lives. And we have a caller, and your name, please.
Adrian.
Adrian. Hi,
yes.
Adrian. What can
How
we
are
do?
You?
I'm great, sweetheart, and how are you?
I'm doing fine, too. I guess I just have a question. I'm wondering, it says that you do Akashic readings, if I'm pronouncing
yes.
that correctly. I was just wondering if there's anything that you see in my, like the next 4 or 6 months for me.
That's not really how Akashic records work.
Oh.
How it works is we take a specific question. We go to the records, and then we see what is in the records. Now, if you had curiosity or you wanted information about what's coming into your life in 3 or 4 months, if we put that into a question, into an area that you were specifically interested in, we can ask it that way. But the way that you asked it, we can't get an answer for it. So, Adrian, what did you have in mind when you're talking about the next couple of months?
I guess
elaborate a little.
Sure. Well, about a year and a half ago, I went through a really big healing transformation in my life. Like every pain that I had came into a perfect storm that broke me down, and I'm building myself back up. So I'm feeling really good these days. But so I'm wondering about career and romance, and you know, I have a few. A few
you're,
different
you're
areas.
You're going to make a career out of romance. I love it.
Oh, that, yeah, there you go. Combine them.
Indeed.
Money, you know, I've just hit a point where I could go in all different directions, and so that's why my question was so general.
Okay, let's talk about one thing. What are you most interested in finding out information? Career, romance, someone new in your life? What's
yeah, how about romance?
I could go for romance.
Yeah,
everybody loves a lover, and I love romance also.
Me too.
So, what are you looking for by the way of romance? Are you looking for a spiritual partner? Are you looking for a marriage?
Not marriage.
I love it because you know most of us. You know, the guys think we are all out there to hook a husband, and yet
oh,
when
God,
I talk
no.
to the gals, they say, no, not married.
Oh, God, no. No, I guess I'm looking more for, like, spiritual, yeah, someone who kind of compliments me, I compliment him.
Okay, so you're looking for, how should I say this, spiritual, aligning yourself with someone who has the same spiritual interest as you do. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's beautiful.
Okay. Now, see, we can go with that, my dear.
Okay. Thanks for the education and the reading.
Well, the thing is, we have to be very specific, and the reason for that is there are so many lines of possibilities, probabilities, and then that works in with the mission and the promises that you made before you came into this lifetime. And so you see, this becomes very complex, but we can make it very simple when we get down to a specific point and ask it in a specific way.
Okay.
And so have you ever listened to this show before?
I've heard a little bit of your show, but I haven't heard a full show because I'm usually watching football on Sunday, so I apologize.
I love it. Okay, so I'm competing with football right now. All right.
No.
I'll remember that.
I'm sorry. The game's
okay.
over now.
That's known as free will, darling.
I know, but...
So what I wanted to tell you is, and those who are listening, there's a little piece of my mind that goes to the center of the cosmos, and... it can do this because, number one, there is a part of my soul there. A part of my soul has incarnated here into this person that I am, and I'm part of the cherubimic realm. They are the ones who hold all of the records of everyone, and each one of those records contains every bit of experience that you have ever gathered.
Mm.
And so piece of my mind goes there, and I work with my cherubim sisters, and they bring forth a record, and that part of my soul that is there reads it and sends the information to me, which I give to you. Now, isn't all that fascinating?
It absolutely is.
Yeah. So we're going to ask that question.
Okay.
And before we get to that specific part of the question, what I really want to know is if you have made a commitment. Well, I think this is what you want to know. If you have made a commitment with another soul that you would be meeting soon, or perhaps, you know, in the future, we can't tell that until we know what is happening here, that you have made an agreement with. And it would seem to me that that's the place to start. What do you think?
I think that's great, yeah.
Yeah. And as I enter that space, there is my sister there standing. Actually, there's two of them standing with your record. And it is quite a large record. You're an old soul who has come to Earth many, many times giving service. And so that part of the Earth records are quite involved. Do you feel that way, that you've been a part of the Earth system for a long time?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
I do.
You have gathered a lot of experience, and it is because of the many lifetimes that you have spent here, your great love for the planet. Do you feel that way? You feel love for Mother Earth?
Yeah, I'm getting better at loving Mother Earth. I do believe in reincarnation. I believe that this time around has been kind of rough.
Well,
so,
I would suggest that you do some meditation and connect with Gaia and the planet, because there is one of your strengths, and you're missing that if you do not connect with her, that it is very important for your progression that you do. So you've been here many times. You're deeply connected with Mother Earth. I see you in so many of your lifetimes acting as the Sibyl, meaning you have brought forth information from others. You have brought it forth from the same data bank that I am using. I see you in Greek temples, Roman temples, back in Atlantis. So you have had a very important role with bringing forth information and sharing it. And it is your time to connect with this again, because it is part of your mission. And in that part of your mission that you are about to undertake, there is another individual who will be connecting with you and actually what you would be doing would be also part of his mission also. So there is this joint cooperative effort, so to speak. And it would be difficult for you to start bringing this forth until the two of you meet. And so there is someone in your life, and I am seeing him now. He is very dashing, very loving. He is your your soul complement, darling.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And he is waiting there to connect with you, but one of the problems that there is you must work on raising your vibration so he can find you. You know, we all send forth a personal vibration into the cosmos, into the universe that is around us. It is the way that one soul recognizes another soul. And so he is searching for you, but he is not finding you because your vibrational level right now he does not recognize. And so you need to work on this. They are suggesting that you do some meditation. Are you meditating right now?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of inner work and a lot of soul searching, like I said, for the past year and a half, and I feel pretty good. I feel really good, actually.
During meditation, since you are meditating and you're becoming aware of it, have you made the connection yet, do you think, to your higher mind, to your higher source going within?
I have made the connection on occasion. so I know that it's there.
Okay, well, when you do, you meditate, you make that connection to the higher mind, and as your request, what your request is going to be is to bring forth this individual, that you are ready to receive him, you are ready to start on your mission, and they are suggesting that you work with us right now.
Okay.
So what does that sound like?
That sounds like a great plan. Wow. I really, I didn't know what I was going to have for an answer for any of the questions, but that's wonderful. I was actually prepared to just, you know, well, if it's not going to happen this time around, there's so many things that interest me that that would be actually kind of okay. But if
well,
I have
I I see the two of you doing this little dance together. It's very beautiful. The energies between the two of you are so beautiful. You know, coming together, sharing, but yet being your own person.
Mm.
And so I would say that the two of you can stand in your as sovereign beings, but yet be connected to one another through your love. Best of both worlds, darling.
Yeah. You're
so, Adrian, go for it.
I'm going for it. I'm going to get busy with this. I'm going to add this to my list of, you know, things that I'm trying to do for myself. So thank you so much, Carolyn.
I see him as a dark-haired individual.
Perfect.
How tall are you?
I'm about 5'5".
He's taller than that, of course. I'd look for a taller, dark guy. Dark haired guy. And you look up at him and you say, hello, hon.
Not a problem at all.
Have fun, Adrian.
Okay, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
All right, bye.
So before Adrian called, we were talking about this blast from source coming and changing the DNA, and also what happened when that blast came. There was it also went into the core of the earth, and I've heard this many times discussed, that there is a crystal Merkaba in the very center, and it spins just the way that ours spins or can spin. And when that blast came down and hit the crystal Merkaba, it slowed it down. And as it slowed it down, this was allowing what we call the still point to begin its progression of evolving. And so this in turn affects weather, because this internal point has slowed down. And as you can imagine, that it makes a lot of changes in the earth, because the earth is still spinning, and we're seeing a lot of these weather changes. And so this is why the weather changes are increasing exponentially. And you know, if you're following any of this, you're seeing you know, some of the storms and the rains and so forth. So the other thing that is happening too is because of this change, this slight, now Lord Metatron is talking about, this is only a slight change in the core, but it is also triggering some of the changes in earthquake scenarios and volcanism. So that's a natural progression. And now, then he talks about balancing the concept of balance, because since we're going through this, you know, the human body is like a radio antenna, and it's picking all of this up. And so we need to have some protocols that are helping. And one of them is how to line up the Hara line, and also the Hara. And we've talked about this too. You can find that information at our website at www.metatronminutes.com. And it's important to be able to use this exercise every day. And it explains there, under protocols, how to line up the hara. And, you know, people who are involved in Reiki, they understand the hara line, but what they are not familiar with is that this hara line goes all the way, it goes through the center of our body, goes all the way up to the sun, and on the other end, it connects to the core of the earth. And so that line must be straight. Then there is another line that runs through the center of the body, which is also called hara. Some call it the core star, the soul star. And that protocol discusses how to use that to balance. And because the hara information and then the whole line configuration are two things that is going to balance us during all these changes. And see, we're going to be having a lot of turmoil going around us right now. And it's important to understand these two tools that we can use so that, in essence, we are sitting in the midst of turmoil. That still spot in the middle, all the turmoil can revolve around us, but we can exist in a calm, nurturing center. And for those of you who might not be familiar with the holon configuration, that is a sacred geometric shape for balance. And if you consider two pyramids, where the base of each pyramid meets, and you imagine yourself sitting in the center. And so these two exercises are very powerful in balancing the human frame and the connection to the brain and ultimately the mind. And so if you use these two exercises, you're not only balancing the physical, but it is the balance in the brain which is needed, and ultimately the mind. And see, that becomes very important from the point of view of creation. How can we create the things that we want in our lives if we are not coming from a point of balance and serenity with the ability to be able to focus? And so if you want to create things in your life that is appealing and pleasing to you, you have to have the balance, the serenity, the intensity to be able to focus. And these are the two tools that you can use, and hopefully you'll use them every day to bring forth that clarity. So there is a lot to that message, and we'll go on a little bit more with it. And while we are doing that, we're halfway through the show. My friends, give me a call here at 877-876-5227 in case you have a question like Adrian had. Maybe not one exactly like hers, but maybe something that you want to know about in your life. Give me a call. Carolyn Evers at 877-876-5227 to help with the clarity that you want to bring into your life. And so the last part of this message from Lord Metatron is perhaps, to my point of view, one of the most exciting, and I have to say exciting, things that is going to happen, according to Lord Metatron, in the year 2012. And so now he gets to the point of ascension. And he explains how what we are calling ascension is very much connected to the Mayan calendar. And, of course, if you have been following that information, there is a time when the planet is in direct alignment with cosmic center. Now, that is the center of our galaxy. And this happens, according to the Mayan calendar, in the year 2012. Fascinatingly, I have a book that discusses that. I thought I had it here on my desk, and I don't. But there is a book that I have been reading, and the author talks about well, it wasn't just the Mayan calendar, but this information is in many other disciplines besides the Mayans, that other ancient cultures were predicting the same sort of events. And so this, you know, some people talk about, well, the year 2012, is there going to be destruction? Well, you know, he is reiterating the fact that the planet will not self-destruct. So nothing negative in that aspect is going to happen. However, what will happen is that life as we know it will be completely changed at a point of time in December. December of the year 2012, on the 28th day, to be precise. And this, I pay attention to. It is extraordinary. A mother will bring forth a child, and that child will be a representative from that soul that you understand to be Jesus or Yeshua. And I'm going to read that again. I think it is so extraordinary. In the year 2012, the month of December, and the 28th day, to be precise, a mother will bring forth a child, and that child will be a representative from the soul that you understand to be Jesus or Yeshua. And there is a reason that he is coming. A very specific reason. And for those of you who are very cognizant of the relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene, you know that the womb was really the cup of the Grail. And if you are of the persuasion that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married, they truly were, and they had children. And that bloodline has been carried through 2,000 years where it has been mingled, co-mingled into many human beings on this planet. And it is one of the reasons that Yeshua came 2,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, we are working right now on the information about Yeshua, the history of his soul, and it is on our website, Metatron Minutes, and it explains all of this in one of the episodes. So that Grail brought and changed. I hear you, dear. Just let me finish this one particular point because it's very important. We are carrying in the earth the DNA from this holy couple, Jesus and Mary Magdalene. They're carrying the DNA. And when this child comes in 2012, the month of December, the 28th day, when that child is born, it will trigger the DNA of all of these souls who are carrying Yeshua and Mary Magdalene's DNA, and that is the spark which will allow the souls to finally ascend along with the planet, which is very intimately connected to humanity. This message, my dear friends, is in the spiritual notebook. We will have it up on our website at Metatron Minutes and also in the newsletter. And who am I speaking to, please?
Hi, this is Diane.
Diane, wasn't that interesting?
That's very interesting, yes. I look forward to it.
Yes. So, Diane, what can we do for you, dear?
Well, I've been working on a project for the last couple of years, and it's kind of like ready to break out. And so I'm wondering if it is, or if I have more work to do to, well, I know I have more work to do, but I guess if you can tell me anything about how it's going,
I'd like to know what you mean by breakout.
Well, it's I haven't gone totally public with it, and I've been slowly marketing it because I'm still working on it. It's not quite ready for distribution. I expect it to be by the end of the year, or by the first of the year. And it's kind of like the way I look at it, if you tell two people, they're going to each tell two people, and then they're going to tell two, you know, and it's going to grow exponentially. And so I want to know if I'm close to that point yet. I guess that's
now close to the point of the word getting out to a lot of people. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like, are people going to, am I going to attract people that will like I'm not a public person and I don't want to go out and do a lot of, you know, interviews and television and speaking and stuff like that. I want other people to do that. I'm like a primary teacher, and I'm going to teach others who will then go out and teach this. So I'm looking for other people who are going to come around.
I sense from the conversation you haven't done enough groundwork yet. Let me see what is in the records about this, what the cherubim have to say about this. And as I connect with the cherubim, they are telling me that, yes, this is your mission, and that you are following your mission, and you're doing it very well. What they're doing now is they're sending me down to the planet Earth, because that is where the records are that have to do with this particular project, how you're going to get it out into the world. And so what we need to do is go there and see what happens. Now, I just love it. I go down there, and there's Gaia. She's so beautiful. And it is like, well, it's not really this way, but she shows it to me this way so we can understand as human beings what they're talking about. And so there is sort of like a bank of drawers, and I pull open this drawer that she is pointing to, and there is your information that you had to do with your project. And what I am asking in that particular data bank is number one is, have you done enough work as far as preparing for this information to be made public? And what I am seeing there is the answer really is no, from the standpoint that if you stop with what you are doing right now, it's going to take you a very long time to line up enough people for the word to spread. And what you want is you want this to be released so that many people will get the message at the same time. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With what you're doing right now, it's sort of like a drip method.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eventually it's going to take hold, but it would take a long time doing it the way that you are doing it. And I suspect from what you are saying, you would really like to put this in the hands of many people. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, is this a course that you have done that you want to turn over to other people to work with? Is this what you've done?
Yes.
That's what I was seeing. And so have you done any work on bringing together a core group who are excited about your project?
Only in that people who have found me through the work I've done, I've, you know, created an email list, and I do a monthly newsletter.
Well, what they are showing me is that you need to gather a core group together, that this is your weakness, that you don't have the core group lined up so that when you are finished with what you need to do, that you can turn it over to them. And so what you basically want is a group of people who are going to market this product and will make it available. Now, are you getting any kind of response from this mailing list that you're sending out?
I guess not as much as I would hope for.
Well, this seems to be the secret. You're going to have to get a core group. You're going to have to educate them. And what kind of emails are you sending out? Are you sending out that offer? I mean, what are you doing in that respect?
Basically telling them how I'm progressing with putting the course together, writing the materials and recording. And
are you making an offer to train them?
Yes.
And how are you going about that? See, you're not getting a response on what you're doing, apparently, from the way it sounds.
Right.
And what you need to do is to get across your vision of how this would affect these people if they became involved in your project. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In other words, the rewards. What are the rewards of this? Have you laid out the rewards to these individuals and how they might prosper from using these materials and working with others? In other words, we're talking here about opportunity. Have you focused on the opportunities for the individuals who would teach your course and for those individuals that they would market to? Have you discussed the opportunities enough?
Well, it's yes and no. Because of the subject matter, it's not. It's something everybody needs, but they don't know it yet. And so the people who I want to train are reluctant, I think, to get into it because they don't see it. I mean, I don't look at things from a money standpoint, but other people do. And so what I'm saying is you will be able to teach classes doing this, but then they're like, well, how do I market this? And so now I have to become a marketing expert and try to explain that to them, which I can help somewhat, but that's not
well. What I would suggest that you do with this is meditate a little bit on, because this is where your weak point is in bringing in this core group. You're after a core group and you can get it, but you're not putting together your message in such a way that you see. You used a word, and what that word was, well, two words. See it. The people who are getting your messages are not seeing it.
Mm.
You've got to excite them mentally. And so what you need to do is you need to go into a meditative state, take a notebook, and write down what comes to you. What words can you use that would bring the excitement of seeing it to this core group?
Mm.
Think you can do that?
I think I can do that.
Well, you work with it, and if you have a problem with it, call back later.
Okay, that's one thing I haven't been doing much of is meditating, because all I do is work on the thing, and I don't take time to meditate, so I may need to do that.
What do you do? How do you meditate? What do you do?
Just sit and just go within. I mean, what do you mean? How do I do it?
Well, everybody has a different way. And people say sit. Yes, you can sit with it, but you have to find a way to get yourself to relax to a point. Let me explain what this point is. You know, right before you go to bed at night and you're going to drift off to sleep, you're not asleep yet, you're awake, but your body is completely relaxing and you're getting to the point where you know you're going to drift off to sleep. Do you understand that moment that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That is the moment that your body has to reach when you were sitting in the chair ready to meditate. It has to be complete relaxation. You have to allow it to release all of the tension. You have to find a very quiet point within yourself. And by doing that, you see, you are changing your wavelength in the brain. You are slowing down the wavelength. And if you don't really get to that point, You can sit still as long as you want, try to go within, and you're not going to get anywhere until the brain waves get to that point. And
right.
So, well, how does one do that? Well, you can use music. Everybody has a different way of doing this. You can use some sort of sacred music that works. Personally, this is what I use. I use a lot of Steve Halperin's music. I have tapes, CDs of his that I have running all the time in my office. My office is imbued with that level that is in his music. When I walk into my office, it would take very little to get me into that state. So that may or may not work with you, but some people use flower essences. They use incense of some sort. The point is, the body must be trained so that when you eat or sit in a particular chair, you do the same thing every time. In other words, if you're going to meditate, you have the same chair you meditate in. If you're going to use incense, you use the same incense. If you're going to use music, you use the same music. Because what happens then is you are very subtly coaxing the body to be trained to know when you do these things, okay, this is time to meditate. This is time to get into that state. And I'll give you an example. You know, you've got you cook, don't you?
Sometimes.
I love it sometimes. Well, when you cook, you know, you're in the kitchen, you're stirring, you're putting the stuff in the pots, you're cooking, and you've got all these little people coming in, lifting up the pot, smelling it, and getting really excited about this meal you're fixing, maybe. But you get the picture.
Yeah.
It is that anticipation. And this is what we're talking about, setting up the required things so that the body anticipates we are ready to meditate. And I personally feel that that is the most important thing, is to train the body to this expectation that this is what's going to happen. Now, it takes a while to do that because the body doesn't necessarily want to do that. It doesn't want to be disciplined. So you have to coax it. You have to coax it, but then once you get to that and you enjoy the magnificence of this beautiful energy that you're bringing down, the body then says, oh, you know, I like that. I'm willing to do that again.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds like exactly what I need to do.
And it's so simple, dear. People think it is very hard to meditate because they go through that stage where they're doing a few things wrong. They're not sitting in the same spot all the time. They're not using the same tools. And they don't realize that they've got to coax the body into the state. And once it's there, once it understands what you want, it is there all the time. And people give up too fast before they've actually gotten to that place. The other thing is, I would say, and I'm not saying this is your problem, but many people do this, is, oh my, I've got to do this again. This is so much of a chore. And if you carry those thoughts, you know, the body picks it up.
Talk yourself right out of it there.
Exactly. We've got this connection between the mind and the body. You know, I mean, we've got this dialogue going on all the time between our mind and our body. And if you think, oh my, 4 o'clock, I got to sit down here and meditate. Well, you know, you aren't going to get anywhere. But if you think, oh, the joy of doing this, you know, you might have to lie to yourself a little bit. Okay, so tell the big fib. I don't really want to do this. Would you tell your body, oh, you're going to like this. Lie. You know how to do it. You know, we women know how to tell fibs. When it's appropriate.
Well,
call back if you need help later, dear.
Okay, thank you very much, Carolyn.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, my friends, we have maybe 4 minutes. Anybody out there want to catch me for 3 or 4 of these minutes? If you do, you got to call in right now, 877-876-5227. And if you don't do it now, you're going to hear my theme music going off the air, and Don's going to say, that show's over. So if you want to dance with me a little bit, my friends, give me a call, 877-876-5227. Make it fast. If you're going to have this last dance with me, got a call. We were talking earlier about this message. Came from Lord Metatron. If you haven't been to the website, you really need to go there, www.metatronminutes.com. His messages are so incredibly beautiful. Sign up for the free newsletter. And one of the things that Lord Metatron tells us is that he holds the keys of consciousness between Source and the center of the cosmos and humanity. And it is because he holds these keys of consciousness that he is so attuned to helping humanity at this point in time. It's why we have, he has offered the live soul healings. People who wish to order that, I set up a telephone appointment. We get on the phone with one another, and Lord Metatron knows what is necessary to heal your soul. Those who do come, he has a special gift for them. I can't tell you what the gift is, but I can say that if you are able to do this, it would be such a help to your soul. It truly is a magnificent gift, one you would be very happy to come and speak to him and receive. And so if your soul tingles at the thought of receiving this from Lord Metatron, then consider ordering a soul reading at that address. Let me clarify something. The difference between the names Lord Metatron and Archangel Metatron. When he uses the name Lord Metatron, he is speaking from his office, meaning the office of the one that carries these keys of consciousness. And when he is speaking from other perspectives, he uses the name Archangel Metatron. So I wanted to explain to you the difference between the two so as not to confuse. The free newsletter is remarkable. And one of the purposes that we use that newsletter is so that people like you who have questions, like the question that we answer today, they can go to the website, they can send me the question, I will present it in front of Lord Metatron, he gives me the answer, and then we release it to you and the world. And so, my friends, we are at the end of the line for today. Call in next Sunday. This is Carolyn Evers. Goodbye. I leave you with my love.